ramp up time.
I'm not.
making. We also increased the adoption of a self-service 311 web portal, which now generates 25 to 30% of our service requests, again delivering an efficient solution for our constituents and our staff. And in 2015, should say specifically September, 311 won the Digital Government Achievement Award for the best web portal. I will also, as I get to the last portion of my remarks, share that the Office of Innovation and Delivery led the implementation of the Blue Ribbon Commission initiatives delivering cost savings and efficiencies and revenue to the city, many of which are still underway, and publicly launched the city's first performance website, enabling the constituents to see a transparent look into the city about how we're performing for them. Employee safety, I'm very proud of. Working closely with finance and risk management, is on track to reduce workers' compensation claim by 11% in fiscal year 16 through programs such as dry cam and a lot of preventative training techniques. This translates into a savings of approximately $1 million. Consequently, we have added one position to assist with that initiative, because obviously employee safety is a top priority to this administration. Emergency preparedness, along with helping us to have an extremely effective winter and prepare for things such as Zika virus and a lot of other matters we want to be ahead of, also did a great job last year preparing the city and thinking through a variety of scenarios which could occur in our city, as well as coordinating across county lines to make sure we're all working seamlessly for the benefit of Metro Atlanta. And they, of course, launched Notify ATL, which is in excess, in my opinion, of around 7,000 members now, and that was very helpful during some recent events the city had. And lastly, in addition to all the functions we serve in our office, we're making some key investments in fiscal year 17 that I think will resonate well with council. The first is 311 right sizing, involving the onboarding of call taking staff for 311, getting the center to the proper level of staffing, which will add take us from around 62 to around 82 based on the current volumes that we're seeing, and I'm confident that that will help us to deliver even better best-in-class service and responsiveness. And we're also recently adding a senior policy advisor position. I'm very excited about this, that will be focused on equity and inclusion matters, and this position will further the mayor's goal of increasing opportunity for all and affordability, and making sure not just some of our citizens and constituents benefit, but we're thinking collectively about the greater population we are honored to support. With that, I thank you for your time, and I'll pass it over to Candace for the next part of our presentation.
Thank you, Dan. Good afternoon.
There we go.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the FEC committee. I again want to thank you for this opportunity. We've had several, all of our budgets to be successful, and we're looking forward to another successful budget presentation as well as budget process. Like Dan, the offices under the Chief of Staff have had many notable and visible wins in FY16, and I'm proud to share some of those with you today. Of course, I want to start by acknowledging this office's strong working relationship. That's the office of what we're calling right now the Legislative Policy and Intergovernmental Affairs Office, that is strongly supported by my rock star and my Deputy Chief of Staff, Katrina Taylor Parks, who works very strong and has a wonderful working relationship with City Council, and their productive collaboration with you continues to be a hallmark of our administration. Most notably, we made sure that the MARTA tax was passed in the General Assembly, which presents the opportunity for us to make the biggest difference in transit and connectedness in Atlanta and in a generation. And Melissa Mullinex yesterday informed you of those timelines and the importance of that. We worked with business leaders throughout the city to make sure the so-called religious freedom bill didn't damage Atlanta's reputation and negatively impact jobs and economic growth. We have provided significant support to the operational departments through management of external relationships and community affairs, whether it's the streetcar and relationships with FTA and GDOT, to supporting Watershed through intense community engagement around People's Town and Memorial Park, and most recently working with Aviation to reach an agreement with the transportation network companies. Our team has been instrumental. For our Office of Communications, we continue to produce the Mayor Reed's 2016 State of the City Address. Channel 26 programming has now increased its social media presence by 100%. It oversees the City of Atlanta's website. It executed a contract to refresh our city's website and department online portals. And it coordinates and manages marketing campaigns for the city's initiatives, including Atlanta 311, the Warren Amnesty Program, and Notify ATL. In our Office of International Affairs, Atlanta has been selected as the host for the 2016 and 2017 editions of the Clinton Global Initiative America, or CGI America, its annual meeting. This year will be held at the Marriott Marquis June 12th through the 14th and will be preceded by a day of service. The City of Atlanta hosted the final round of negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, where the U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman announced that the negotiations were successfully concluded. We supported Mayor Reed's participation in the COP, or COP21, which stands for Conference of Parties, Climate Change Conference held in Paris. We worked hand-in-hand with Invest Atlanta and other economic development entities to attract foreign direct investment projects to the city. Within the 7 months alone, we closed five FDI deals, including Cielo, Barfind, 146 Backbase, Sage, and GeoDigital, representing over 700 additional jobs. It is worth noting that these companies are from all parts of the globe. Cielo is the largest Brazilian credit and debit company. Barfind is a well-known German-based orthopedic company. Sage is a British software company. Backbase is a Dutch digital banking platform company. And GeoDigital is a Canadian company using technology that is found in self-driving vehicles. We also welcomed about 33 foreign delegations, and these delegations came from a wide array of countries, including Turkey, China, Finland, France, Japan, Morocco, and Brazil. In the newly established Office of Immigrant Affairs, or newly launched Office of Immigrant Affairs, we were honored by the National Society of Hispanic MBAs annual gala for its dedication to advancing opportunities for Latinos in Atlanta. We were awarded the DollarWise grant to promote and to provide financial literacy programming and pre-existing English language learning programs. And we also had the Atlanta's inaugural Welcoming Week, which reached an estimated 971 members of the Atlanta community through events, including the inaugural Atlanta Soccer Festival. And we also established 22 citizen resource centers at APS libraries, or Atlanta Public Libraries, Centers of Hope, and local immigrant-owned grocery stores as a part of our USCIS partnership. Let's talk about the Women's Entrepreneurship Initiative, which Dan spoke about briefly. We launched a citywide competition for women entrepreneurs for the inaugural class of the WE Incubator, and more than 100 participants and applicants answered the call. We opened the state-of-the-art office inside the Flatiron Building a couple of weeks ago. We also joined Georgia Tech's Ivan Allen College of Arts to host the inaugural Global Women's Entrepreneurial Institute. It's a group of 18 entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs, from five countries in Africa, traveled here to join our local WE participants for 3 days of connecting, engaging, and global-minded business training. We created and hosted an inaugural women-owned business biz crawl through the downtown Atlanta area, and we launched a 12-week training curriculum for aspiring women entrepreneurs to strengthen their scalability of their business models. Now let's talk about our Office of Entertainment and Film. Along with this office and Mayor Reed, we launched the City of Atlanta Entertainment Training Program, which is the first job training program in the United States to focus on helping the film industry build a talent pool of trained below-the-line workers with relevant experience. And this training program is in collaboration with IATSE, which is the International Alliance of Theatrical and Stage Employees, and that's the local 479. Atlanta was also named one of the top 10 places to live and work if you are a movie director. For our Office of Cultural Affairs, we awarded a $50,000 artworks grant from, we were awarded a $50,000 arts work grant from the National Endowment for the Arts under the new Imagine Your Parks initiative. The Public Arts Management, or Collections Management and Restoration, restored and conserved 20 public arts works. And the Chastain Arts Center hosted 377 campers ages 5 to 12 for the annual a la carte youth summer camp and served 701 students in adult and youth art classes. The center also employed 77 artists through programs, center operations, and classes. And lastly, I want to talk about, but not leastly, one of the offices that makes and helps the city be great. It's the Office of Constituent Services. They address residents' concerns and complaints by collaborating with city agencies and offers an avenue for cities to voice their concerns and suggestions on improvements of city services. They represent the mayor's office at regularly scheduled MPU and community meetings, and they service an average of 60 to 80 walk-in citizens a week and handle approximately 80 to 120 incoming calls a day. And they also initiate and coordinate community cleanups with various council districts. And as Dan spoke to the savings we are delivering in this budget, it has allowed us to smartly invest dollars in our highest priority areas. What this means for my office is in FY17, in addition to continuing to support many of the programs that Dan and I just spoke to, we will also be investing in the launch of our new fatherhood initiative. And this is also something that the mayor spoke about in his State of the City address. This initiative will target the urban community, offering sources and guidance to young men on jobs, financial literacy, interpersonal skills, and educational opportunities. It is directly aligned with the mayor's goal of increasing opportunity and equity for all of us. That concludes my remarks, and at this time, we are happy to take any questions. So thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you for the presentation. We'll now open up for questions. Ms. Adrian.
Thank you for your presentation. You both talk really, really fast. Sorry. My goodness. I thought Ms. Yancey had the record. I think, Dan, you got hers.
She still does. Yeah.
I'm telling you. It depends on who's had the most recent cup of coffee, I guess. A couple thoughts. In the mayor's office is $33 million, the executive offices, and a huge portion of that is really managing the entire plant facility called City Hall and all the other ancillary buildings and utilities and all that sort of thing. So I think it would be helpful for purposes of sharing the budget to pull that out in the future. Okay. I think if my math is right, it's between facilities and OEAM, I think it's $10 million. Is that right?
I'm looking at this budget tool.
Yeah, you can share a microphone.
OEAM's budget is approximately $18 million. It is for buildings, yes, buildings and utilities.
So why don't you take a minute, because, I mean, that's bigger than some of the departments that we've spent 30 minutes on or an hour or two. Why don't you talk to us about that, please, the services, what it was the year before. And I don't know, has it always rested under the executive offices, or did it used to be in non-departmental years ago?
It has gone through various transitions. So if you go back about 15 years ago, there was a department of, what it did 20 years ago, it included, it was general services.
General services.
It included fleet, it included procurement at one point in time, and then buildings. And then they moved procurement out and made it its own, and then you had fleet and general services that became OEAM when fleet went to Public Works.
Okay. And do you have, I mean, you've got a lot of functions within your budget. Do you have something that you'd like to share with us, or is it
around OEAM?
That actually breaks out your budget by category.
Might be better for us to break it out and then get that to you, Councilmember Adrian, versus what's in front of us.
Okay, because I'm using the. Do you know we have a new budget tool?
No.
So the budget tool allows us to, if I could get this thing to open up right, allows us to see all the different categories in executive offices. So, for instance, according to this, the facilities is $6.6 million. General plant is $3.5 million. So I don't know where you get the other several million, Matt. Where is that? Oh, I don't see it. Well, anyway, there's about 20 boxes on the budget manager that has all the different categories that you have. And the two biggest ones have to do with utilities and buildings and maintenance and all that. So why don't you expound upon exactly...
The remainder of that gap, council members, personnel to manage the buildings and utilities.
That's included in here, too, so I'm just...
Okay, and then I'll have to look at the breakout that you're looking at and get it back to you in that way as well.
Okay, so tell us about it, please.
So OEM's budget for fiscal 17 is approximately $18 million, as I mentioned. That is a $3 million decrease over last year. The large majority, over $2.8 million of that, represents, as Dan mentioned before, in our effort to have best practice capital budgeting, we removed some capital funding for capital projects that had been completed in this fiscal year. So factoring that in, the office's budget is roughly flat year over year.
Well, I mean, tell us more. I mean, the public's listening too, okay? So tell us more, the number of buildings, the number of employees, the utilities, are they up or down, those sorts of details.
Right. So we'll have Jalal come up and give a brief summary just in.
Okay. Thank you.
To the microphone.
I've got that mic turned on, too.
So Jalal Slade, Senior Policy Advisor to Mayor Reed. OEAM is about, it's almost 100 personnel. The building count is, I think, in the mid-80s, and we manage about, there's about 6.5 million square feet in the general fund. OEM manages about 3.5 million of that.
So included in your budget are the utilities for all this $3.5 million?
That's correct.
Water, electricity, et cetera? And is it insurance too?
No, we don't care. We don't cover the insurance.
That's in non-departmental.
In finance.
And then I noticed there was a fair amount of money in consulting. Can you tell me about that?
So I think the number's about... $7.5 million in purchase and contracted services. Mm-hmm. Many of that, there's about $5.5 million of that that is essentially fixed contracts that we have for various maintenance and facility-related services, including our security. And then there is, a variable amount, less than $2 million, that we use to manage, on-call services or emergency events or other facilities-related events as needed.
Okay. So, I mean, the reason I asked for the details is just to make it more apparent that there's a lot that goes into that that we not spend any time on, and it's not unimportant. And so in managing all these facilities, share with us what you're doing to manage the utilities costs, because I'm sure that's a big driver.
So I believe our utilities number, I don't have it exactly in front of me, but I believe it's about $1.8 million. It has been, I think it was slightly less than maybe the previous fiscal year. The plan right now, of course, is we have our energy savings performance contracts that we are implementing that we expect to see year-over-year reductions probably in the 5 to 10% range for the next several years once we kind of get them implemented. So you won't see the savings until probably this time next year. We'll be able to really see the effect of that. Most of the contracts were just recently executed this spring, and they are doing the audits and assessments of the best opportunities for us to reduce energy consumption.
Okay, thank you. And then on a different subject, the chief of staff budget, there's also about $646,000 in consulting, so can you share with us what some of those contracts are for, please? And that's according to this budget builder, so that's, I'm just looking at something that came from finance.
What I can tell you, Councilmember, and I might start out by saying that we don't have the budget explorer in front of us, so In some cases, we're not able to currently see to the level of detail that you can, so we may have to sit down with you and provide some of this information afterwards.
Right. Well, I mean, that's fine, but tell us in general what you're using consultants and professional services for. I mean, just in general, what they are in your office.
So you would have a line item for that. That could be some temporary staffing on occasion. It could be information around, as Candace mentioned, the international trips. We're bringing information in, and it's similar to the council's budget. So you have your staffing budget, and you have your other budget, and it is for use based on needs that come up. So we don't have like contracts out of the Chief of Staff's office that would come before you like OAM would. And if that were the case, then they would have to. But we have a lot of situations and, you know, instances that we have to go there, you know, for that money. But it's very rare. I think that remains flat most of the time, Matt, right? We rarely use that. So I would consider that a line item, Ms. Adrian.
Right. So you're right. This budget has a line for salaries, one for consulting and professional, and then business travel, phone, insurance, et cetera. So consulting and professional is sort of your catch-all budget.
It's a catch-all.
Right?
Exactly.
And it encompasses all of the sub-offices that are contained within the Chief of Staff's office.
Right, right. No, I get that.
I think there's also been some investments made in Channel 26 as well.
Okay. Okay, I see that consistently in each of the different departments, that's sort of the bucket where you put everything else.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And then, Mr. Jill. Oh, yes. And how many people are under your budget, Ms. Bird?
I would have to get you the actual number, but I think between 60, about 60, 65.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anybody else? I'm going to jump in real quick. So I wanted to understand on page 154 and 155, the salaries extra helpline. For your entire consolidated budget, most of it is coming out of the executive office's general fund, and it's $1.1 million. Roughly $1 million. It's a modest decrease from last year, but it is notably the highest percentage of overall salary budgets for any department. So walk me through. You know, explain to me kind of what the use of that is. I know last year we were trying to get out of extra help into permanent positions, so I just wanted to understand that.
We are going to bring forward a paper to reclass some extra help positions,
okay,
just so you know,
okay,
which I think will help address that.
Okay. Under the variance explanation for the positions, the FTEs, the five transfers, did anyone talk about what those five transfers are, where they're coming from, and what positions they are? And I know we'll get this in the personnel paper, but I just thought I'd get a quick overview first.
Those are actually, I'm not sure, it may not be, those are five positions in OEAM.
Okay. So they're not necessary, are they transfers?
They're positions that were created in this fiscal year and are awaiting funding at the moment.
Okay. And then the new positions, we'll just wait till we get to the personnel paper, but as you kind of described some of them already, and including that one senior policy advisor, correct?
Yes,
that one's
that's correct.
And the rest are mostly 311. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. Those were the questions I had. Did anyone else, any of my other colleagues, have any questions on this? So all that I think is outstanding are the information that Mr. Malamet and Ms. Adrian were going to get together and reconcile. Ms. Ruffin, was there anything else? That was it, right? All right, anybody? Y'all have a lot of activity going on in your offices.
Just a few things, but we're glad to do it.
We don't do much.
I was looking at your org chart going, wow, I didn't realize.
On
page 150.
150.
But, you know, in a lot of ways, as I look through that list, it makes sense that it's all consolidated at the executive level because they span so many different departments. So I appreciate the deliberate approach towards that.
The only Chairman Juan, if I could just say, I want to give some recognition to the Office of Contract Compliance, which we didn't talk about, because we hit around 33%, and we're trending extremely healthy in that area. And between the airport and Renew Atlanta and a lot of wonderful projects that drive a lot of economic activity for our community, they're really, really setting the bar for the community. So I just want to recognize them as well on that org chart.
Okay. If there are no other questions, Ms. Norwood.
I appreciate all the good work that y'all do. This is a very significant part of the budget, and it certainly has increased a lot under this administration over the past 6 years. And so I just ask all of y'all to please put your thinking caps on so we can give our frontline employees the compensation that we need so that we as council members don't have quite as many calls about this didn't get done and that didn't get done. And they're, it's just, but we know we have service delivery issues, and I know y'all work hard every day, and all of these wonderful initiatives are wonderful. But I want to make sure that we don't do this and not be paying our frontline guys that keep us safe, that do the services. We really, I plead with y'all to get that done before we adopt this budget and have the final days of June really unpleasant for everybody. So, thank you.
I was just going to say one comment. Thank you, Councilmember Norwood, for those comments. We hear you. And also, one of the reasons for that increase is the consolidation of 311 drove part of that over time. I just wanted to highlight that so people were aware of that. But thank you for those comments. Understood.
Ms. Adrian had a follow-up question.
Well, actually, Ms. Norwood said something that reminded me that I forgot to thank a few people. First of all, with regard to some of the service delivery, I want to thank Ms. Wilson for mapping out some of the processes in the city, particularly between 311 and some of the other departments, to help us understand where the bottlenecks are so that we can fix those, because, 311 can be an amazing tool, and I know we're still going through some growing pains, so I thank you for mapping that out and using some of the case studies our office provided you with. And also, I'm not sure which of you mapped out the HR. Is that you?
The credit for that actually goes to HR. Collaboratively with them.
Okay.
And the same thing for 311 really goes to the 311 team as well as the departments. And, I'm just happy to help facilitate those things, but thank you.
Well, they're important. So, there's been a lot of discussion about vacancies and why can't we hire people faster and everything. And I know you were part of the team that mapped that out as well so that, again, we could identify the bottlenecks. And I think it's work that like that that helps us be more efficient as a city and use our precious resources more effectively. So for any of you, Matt, you probably had a hand in that too. I appreciate that, when we come with our disappointments that you are responsive and do something about it, because we all want the same thing, for the city to work really well for the constituents. So thank you for doing the things you do.
And I think most of you know this, but one, I can't thank Kristen enough for what she does, because she's an amazing part of the team. I thank you, Kristen, again, personally, publicly. And also, from a vacancy approach, we've responded. You'll see those numbers, and I think Commissioner Yancey spoke earlier on that. And secondly, vacancies that have been not filled for 12 months as part of this budget, to be responsive to council, have been addressed as well.
Okay, Mr. Young.
I've sat in this seat for about 14 years, and I can safely say at no point in the city's history has the west side of Atlanta been the beneficiary of the kind of attention that it's received, not just from this administration, but from the entire city. There seems to be a very large preoccupation citywide about addressing some of the disparities that have existed far too long on the west side. And as I said earlier to Human Resources and to Ms. Yancey, Commissioner Yancey, I also have to say to you all my real thanks and appreciation on behalf of the constituents that I represent. We are not where we want to be, and that's acknowledged, I certainly appreciate the direction that we're heading, and I know without the support of you all and our chief executive officer Mayor Kasim Reed, it would not be so. And it's not just the policy issues that are dealt with within this facility, but it is the advocacy that goes far beyond these doors to other agencies that have a real understanding now how valuable it is to not only level the playing field and the actual condition of our city on the west side, but to really speak to the entire future of the city by making these kinds of investments and support in other areas of our city where there are disparities. It's not just District 3. I know she's not here today, but I know Councilmember Joy Shepherd would have the same sentiment if she was here. And I can certainly speak for other colleagues as well that we I'm extraordinarily grateful and anxious to continue the efforts that we're making now, but I just want to publicly thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Anybody else?
Mr. Warren, I just have a point of clarification, please. Excuse me. I just wanted to Ms. Norwood's comments that I just wanted to reiterate that we made it clear yesterday that this administration was committed to all of our employees, as noted, and that's important. I just wanted to end on that high note, and also the increase that she may have mentioned could be attributed to 311 coming under executive offices or being created by this administration as opposed to previous years, as well as OEAM for efficiency purposes that are operating under the executive offices, because if you were to take those large offices out, then we actually have decreased the mayor's budget as in comparison to previous administrations. So thank you.
Thank you for that clarification.
I have one closing comment.
Yep.
That's okay, Council Chairman. I just want to thank the mayor as well for his leadership, his vision, his support, and the amount that I see his passion for the city inspires me every day, and I really just want to thank him, who's obviously a key leader for us, as Councilmember Young mentioned. Thank you.
Mr. Gordon, Mr. Johnson, welcome to your first budget. I think it was relatively painless this year. I think that was because we did a lot of the hard work last year, and I wanted you thanked your budget team, but I think it bears thanking them again, because all that scrubbing that we did last year is reflected in a very,
absolutely,
very smooth process this time. So welcome. We look forward to working with you, Mr. Johnson. And if there's nothing else, then we stand concluded on this. So thank you all.
Thank you
very much.
Colleagues, we'll pick back up at 2 o'clock with City Council and Municipal Clerk budget.
Yeah.
Time he gets on the bump, he's going to give you 100%. He's going to give you 6 or 7 innings of 10 to 13 strikeouts a game. He's going to be electric. He's going to control the game. He's just a special type player. And the reason why he's getting recognition, a player like that, you know, getting ready to go to Georgia Tech.
Curry and his fellow seniors will leave a winning legacy at Mays as they raise the bar higher for baseball in Atlanta Public Schools. In Southwest Atlanta, Sam Crenshaw reporting for City Channel 26.
Destinations in more than 45 countries. With award-winning efficiency, world-class concessions, and a commitment to exceeding your expectations. But the one destination we are most proud of connecting you with is home. For the student returning after her first semester away.